Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's weekly radio magazine for the performing arts. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum, sitting in for David LaTulipe. You'll still hear him later on in the episode in a conversation with Giovanna Sardelli, director of New Works for TheaterWorks Silicon Valley, presenting its 15th annual New Works Festival starting tomorrow through the 21st. David will also talk with songwriter Don Curie, reuniting with singer Donna Pilar after a 45-year interruption for a special concert on August 20th. I'll talk with Jack Reardon of the Jack Tone Reardon Trio, who are recording a live album this month at three performances scheduled throughout Northern California. And regular contributor Peter Robinson, offers audiobooks for your summer road trip. Stay with us. First up, the Jack Tone Reardon Trio features Mike Clark on drums, Will Blades on organ, and Jack Reardon on guitar. The organ trio is about to embark on a three-date live recording mini tour of the Bay Area in Northern California. And joining us to talk about these performances and the album they'll become, Jack Reardon and Philip Watt, thanks for joining us today on Open Air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jack, what was the inspiration for you and Will Blades and Mike Clark to come together to form an organ jazz trio?
Will and I have been playing, for about close to, 20 years now, 15 years, something like that, and just been developing together as musicians, and we've been meaning to do this for about 15 years, so here it is. And, we've played with... so many great drummers. And first time we played with Will, with Mike, it was just an immediate kind of click, and we knew that this was the band. So that was kind of the inspiration. We did a little gig that we do every Sunday over at Madrone Art Bar, and that's Will's gig. We've been doing that about 8 years now. And, we had Mike on it a couple times, and it was just immediate. We knew that we had to get that on record. That was about a year ago or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much since then I've just been working on the concept for the album and writing songs and doing some arrangements of standards and that kind of stuff. And here it is. It's coming up in about a week. So
organ trio as a jazz genre, mm-hmm. it's a bit of a unique jazz genre. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean it's been around a long time for sure. But Jimmy Smith and Kenny Burrell, and there's like kind of all these partners like organ and guitar hookups, like Larry Young and Grant Green. Mel Ryan and Wes Montgomery and Jimmy Smith and Kenny Burrell, and it goes on and on. But it's a lot of fun. I love doing it. It's a very specific thing for a guitar player too. It's a little different than the standard kind of position for a guitar. So it's a lot of fun, and it's been fun to write for it too. So.
And for you, with the guitar that you play, how is organ, this like organ trio, sort of a new thing for you to take on, or?
No, I've been doing it for quite a while now, about 15 years, kind of honing the thing. So it's not really new, kind of new as a leader, but.
Well, yeah. Jack's gig at Madrone every Sunday, Madrone has a in-house organ, sort of an organ-centered space in a sense. That's an incredible performance you can see every Sunday, and a lot of the flyest cats come late and throw down, burn it up.
Yeah, it's a jam session. So we do a set up front and then are usually joined by some great musicians. So, yeah.
Fantastic. So, Philip, I know you're a musician yourself, and you're not playing in the trio, correct?
Right.
Yeah, right. So, how did you and Jack kind of get together to work on this? It's a three-event performance that we'll be coming into. Is it just one album or three separate albums?
It's one album. The venues are distinct. You know, we have Burton Beckett, which is a... the owner of Burton Beckett doesn't want me to say dead room. But it is a great sort of recording studio kind of feel to it because of all the carpet and the books. Birdland is more of a mid-sized room. It's more of that live room feel to it on Martin Luther King in Oakland. And then the final venue is Sutter Creek Theater, which is old silent movie theater, 1919.
Yeah, it's a cool space.
Oh, you've been there.
I've been there before. How did you get the idea to choose? I mean, I feel like Birdland and Bird and Beckett, those venues make sense for a show like this.
Uh-huh.
How did the Sutter Theater, Creek Theater get into the mix?
Well, I grew up in Sutter Creek. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just kind of an obvious
thing
for me.
Have you always wanted to perform there?
I played there years ago with my rock band in high school. And we sold out the theater. But I've been meaning to get back there for forever. So
cool.
Yeah,
the name Jack Tone is blazed all across Sutter Creek area. I think it's the East West Road, right? Isn't that your great uncle?
Yeah, Jack Tone Road in Stockton. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Very nice. So so with this album, do you plan on, because you're going to be drawing from these three different, very, you know, they'll be similar music but different environments being recorded. Are they planning to kind of be melded into just one album?
Like one album, yeah.
One going back and forth and back and forth to the venue? Or?
Yeah, well, I'll defer to Jack on this. We'll see how it...
So we're going to basically, the best thing about this, one of the cool things is that we're going to be able to cherry pick from all the tunes, so... And we'll be doing some of the tunes more than once, so then we'll have options to kind of just cherry pick the best sounding ones.
That's awesome.
And one thing that really intrigues me is the fact that, you know, we're doing professional video recording, audio recording. Of course, it's a live event, so you have all of these different types of performance pressure put on the musicians, and they are going to blow it out, I believe. I hope.
We'll see. I have faith.
But yeah, it's, you know.
Well, we have three tries.
Yeah. And it's an exciting event in the sense that when you come to it, you know that you're witnessing something that's going to be able to be listened to for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So I know that Jack, that Will and Mike couldn't be here in the studio to perform, but you are here with your guitar. Also, Adam Schulman is on the organ.
The great Adam Schulman.
The great Adam Schulman. Would you two mind maybe playing a song or two? We have a few minutes here.
I thought you never asked.
Just do a quick little setup, everyone. The microphones are moving. Got it?
Yeah.
Great. This is Jack Reardon of the Jack Tone Reardon Trio with Adam Schulman on organ. Thank you. That was fantastic. That was Jack Reardon on guitar and Adam Schulman on organ, live in KALW studios. You can see the Jack Tone Reardon Trio for yourself. They're recording a live album of straight-ahead organ trio jazz at three venues this month: Birdland Jazzista Social Club in Oakland on 8/17 at 7 p.m., also Bird and Beckett in San Francisco on August 18th at 7:30 p.m., and at the Sutter Creek Theater in Sutter Creek on August 21st at 5 p.m. You can find more information. Where can they find more information, Philip?
They go to philipwattacting.com. Sorry, philipwattcasting.com, and go to the music booking tab.
Find more information on the members of the Jack Tone Reardon Trio and also ticket information. Thank you again, Adam and Philip and Jack. Appreciate it. Still to come on Open Air, details about Theater Works Silicon Valley's New Works Festival, audiobook suggestions for your summer car trip, and next, music of Don Curry. Stay with us.
The little girl stands by the backyard gate, Indian summer in her eyes, musing on confusion, on indifference and hate, the pain of the day's demise. And through the rotting timbers of the backyard gate, the ragged remnants of the skies are falling like the pieces of a shattered plate. The girl lifts her head and cries. I'm Jean, the beauty queen, and I run through the edges of your dreams. I'll be the legend of your wishing scream, but I'm damned if I'll let you hear my screams. There is such darkness here, the glaring windy spaces. It is the night I
That's the singer Donna Pilar with Donald Curry, who wrote that tune some 45 years ago and toured with it from L.A. to Sonoma. They since went their several ways, but decided to get back together again for the Donna Pilar reunion concert, one night only, the 20th of this month, at 7 p.m. at Noe Valley Ministry. Here to talk about that concert and the music that was created those many years ago is composer Donald Curry. Welcome back to Open Air, Donald.
Thank you, David.
Well, quite a hiatus between performances.
Quite a lifetime between performances.
Take us back to those days 45 years ago in San Francisco.
It was a hippie theater commune called the Gestaltful Theater Family. We lived in a big mansion in Pacific Heights, all 25 of us. Francis Ford Coppola was our landlord for a while. It was quite a place and quite an experience. And down in the ballroom of this mansion was an old upright piano. And one day I sat down at the upright piano and just decided I was going to write a song. And I'd never written a song before. And before I knew it, I'd written 30 songs. And at one point, this very willowy, pale young woman, who was just a teenager at the time, Pilar, who came to us from another commune, sat down next to me on the bench and started to harmonize. And it was just superb and beautiful. So we took it on the road, and we did it for about 6 years, all over the state of California. Had quite a following. People followed us everywhere, from Los Angeles up to Sonoma, Esalen Institute, Marin County, et cetera, et cetera. And then one day we both decided we wanted to pursue our own things. I'd started a company called Western Onion Singing Telegrams. She was wanted to pursue her career as a soloist and songwriter herself. We parted very amicably. And then about 6 months ago, I was shopping at Whole Foods on 24th Street. I turned around, and there was Pilar. And she said, I said, "Oh, Pilar." She said, "I prayed last night that I'd see you today." I said, "Well, your prayers were answered." So we took a walk together, and we just had a lovely, wonderful catch-up. And at one point, I said to her, "Pilar, you know, I know that you do your solo performances, and I love what you do. But I've been listening to some of those songs that we did together all those years ago, and it would be nice if I could just come in one night on one of your shows, and we'll do a couple." And she said, "Let's do the whole thing. Let's get back together and do the whole thing, just for one night, and that's it." I said, "Great." So I contacted my composer friend Don Seaver, who I've worked with for many, many years, who's writing all new piano arrangements for the songs. All the songs are exactly the same as they were 45 years ago.
Augmented as well, I understand, with a cello.
Laura Boitz is a cellist. She's unbelievable. The first rehearsal we had with the cello, she started to play, and I think it was actually on Norma Jean, the Beauty Queen. And Pilar and I couldn't even sing. We were just gone when we heard that cello come in. And Laura said, "Oh, I see. My job is to make you cry." And I said, "That's right, and you're doing a very good job of it." And so now we have the cello, we have the grand piano, and the two voices. So we're this lovely little quartet. And here we are, and we're doing it 45 years later.
That's amazing. You must have seen, I mean, you've been witness to all kinds of changes here in San Francisco. Can that kind of environment ever happen again?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely it can. Creativity springs eternal in this town. It's like weeds. You just can't stop it. You go to somewhere like Piano Fight down in the Tenderloin, 7 nights a week, beautiful, creative stuff. I walked in there one night. There were 100 people on ukuleles singing Beatles songs. And they said, it's ukulele night. I mean, it's just fantastic. And so, yes, it can happen again. People are always saying, "Oh, you know, creativity is dead in the city and it's been destroyed." And no, mm-mm. It's all over the place.
Well, we opened with that beautiful Norma Jean, was it?
Norma Jean, the Beauty Queen.
The Beauty Queen. What else? What are the other tunes that you decided to reincorporate into the show?
There's one called the La La Song. There's one called Hymn, H-Y-M-N. There are a couple of a cappella numbers that are very contrapuntal when she and I riff on each other with the contrapuntal a cappella stuff. There's 23 songs that we're doing. There were 30 songs altogether, and we decided that about 7 of them were juvenilia, and we cut them out. But we're doing 23. It's a 2 full-set night. It's going to be about a 2-hour show. It's just going to be heavenly for us. hopefully for the audience too.
Very nice. We have another cut to hear that we'll share. It's called Eat Out Often. Tell me about this, too.
Oh, Eat Out Often. Yes. Well, I don't remember what the origin of this tune was. It just popped kind of full-blown into my head. And it's rather a sweet little double entendre number.
Music of Donald Curry. Thanks for coming in, Donald.
Thank you, David.
Eat Out Often.
Try a little, have a little, eat it up, yum yum, it'll make you feel so fine. Can I slip a little honey in your hot cross buns, the flavor's so sublime. Do you love the pretty flowers and the candlelight and the perfume of my hair? I could be with you forever, we could eat all night and still have room to spare. Have a nibble, have another, it's a tasty treat and it's cooked at home with care. Did you love the devil eggs and can you beat this meat in a restaurant anywhere? And the wine is so divine, it's of a vintage year, the pièce de résistance. Have a healthy little swallow, bottoms up in my dear, should we have another dance? So let's eat out often, let's stay home and cook tonight. Just us two together, such a rare delight. And we don't need a master charge, a Diners Bank, American Express, and Davis rented carte blanche. Would you like a second helping of some pickled tongue? You've been tempted once before. Why be dainty, have a gobble, open up a come, come, you could stand a little more. Come to think of it, I've hardly had to bite myself, so pass that rump roast here. And you know I only care for it, or you sweet things, so dish it up, my dear. Au revoir, my little pookie, sugar shorts are due. What a bum bum, we shut him. Will you miss me till you kiss me? Will you pine away till we meet and we eat again? On the sorrow of the morrow is a fate so cruel, let's arrange a midday brunch. Bring your picky-nicky basket and invite your friends, we'll adore them all at once. So let's eat out often, let's stay home and cook tonight. Just us two or more together, such a rare delight. And we don't need a master charge, a Diners Bank, American Express, a Navis rented carte blanche. So have a healthy little swallow, bottoms up, my dear. Should we have another dance? Have a healthy little swallow, bottoms up, my dear. Should we have another dance? Have a healthy little swallow, bottoms up, my dear. Should we have another dance?
Too much fun. Music of Don Curry performing with Donna Pilar. You know, that is too much fun. Let's hear another track. This is music of Don Curry singing with Donna Pilar.
What are you standing alone? Beginning to totter, your mind is a stone. It's sinking in water, you see the abyss. There's nothing to do but stop and put your la-las on. La-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Well, are you sunk in a funk? Misery calls to you, time isn't drunk, and he's flinging his balls at you. Nowhere to run, and nothing to do but stop and put your ha-ha's on. Someone
to hold you, to make you feel fine, to keep out the cold. You cannot live without love. Your mornings are dreary, so stop and put your la-las on. La 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 la. Hanging around for someone to tell you what's up and what's down, to sell you the key to the magical town. Well, nobody owns it, so stop and put your ha-ha's on. Choose, be what you see, set yourselves free.
Put your la-las on and your ha-has on and get yourself over to brownpapertickets.com for the Donna Pilar reunion concert. Music of Don Curry singing with Donna Pilar for the first time in about 45 years, one show only, August 20th at 7 p.m. brownpapertickets.com for the remaining tickets available. In addition to preparations for their 47th season of productions, TheaterWorks Silicon Valley is presenting its 15th annual New Works Festival, considered by many the artistic highlight of the summer and attracting theater lovers from across the country. It's a great opportunity to experience new plays and musicals in their early stages of development, and the festival has launched many new works onto TheaterWorks' main stage and onto productions nationally. The acclaimed Fly By Night and Emma came to life in the festival, as did Broadway's Memphis, Off-Broadway's hit Striking 12, and the Off-Broadway play Equivocation, among many others. For the next 2 weeks, audiences will applaud, debate, and help shape new shows for America's future. Joining me to talk about this year's festival selections is the director of New Works, Giovanni Sardelli, who has brought to life a slew of productions both at Theater Works and around the country. She's also spent times as director of the Shakespeare Sedona Institute and as the artistic director of Studio Tisch. Giovanna received her advanced training in acting from NYU and also is a graduate of their director's lab. In addition to a lot of work with Theater Works, she was also named resident director at the Dorset Theater Festival. Giovanna, a pleasure to welcome you back to KLW in open air.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
Well, 15 years. Anything special for such a milestone going on this year?
You know, when I was thinking about the festival, I thought, our audiences love musicals, and usually we do two, but this year we're doing four.
Oh,
which
wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's going to be incredibly exciting. And three of those musicals are actually part of the festival in that we provide development opportunities and rehearsal, and one is a very special presentation. It's a one-time-only presentation.
Well, the selections you chose are just fun to read about. We're going to hear an excerpt from the first one shortly, Something Wicked This Way Comes, which is based on a novel by Ray Bradbury. Gravity, about Newtonian physics, is another musical. It's just Eddie the Marvelous, Who Will Save the World. I mean, these are such innovative titles.
I love the titles, I have to say. When I was putting the festival together, yeah, I keep saying I, and actually,
you have a team, of course.
I have an incredible team.
Takes a village.
Yes. So when we're looking at all these musicals, it was very funny when we were typing up the titles. We looked down and thought, it looks like the festival is as exciting as it will be. Each title, I think, captures something about the show.
Well, before we get into some of the details about the musicals, and it's also going to include two plays, tell me about the New Works Festival keynote address on Friday, this Friday at 8 p.m., Rajiv Joseph, author of the wonderful Broadway play Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo, among other things. That was a 2010 Pulitzer Prize winner, finalist for drama. What's your relationship with Rajiv Joseph?
Oh, gosh. Well, Rajiv and I actually kind of started out in the business together. I directed his first play out of NYU, and it went on to become the first play either one of us did off-Broadway. And then we continued, I think we did four off-Broadway shows in a row together. And so we've been working together for over a decade.
And you're going to be directing one of his plays called Archduke. Tell me about Archduke.
Archduke is what Rajiv is exploring in that play is actually the beginnings of World War I. He's really looking at the young men who assassinated Archduke Ferdinand and looking at their motives, looking at humanizing them so that, you know, we hear that somebody was a terrorist and we write them off. And he's actually asking us to say, well, what if we cared about these young men a little more? Would we invest in figuring out what made them do it? Would we invest in figuring out could history have been different? And he's also exploring how we're at the beginnings of our century, and will our century mirror the war-torn century of last year, or can we do something different? So I think the play is extraordinarily prescient. So I'm thrilled to be working on it.
Tell me a little bit about the casting process for that.
Well, Leslie Martinson does all of the casting for theater works. And this year, Jeffrey Lowe actually helped on one of the shows because we required 37 actors.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. What we're doing in the festival is more than some theaters do in an entire season. So there are no auditions when you do a workshop. You're really relying on actors' reputations. You're relying on their previous experience or their very good YouTube clips. So we've put together the cast by... We talk to the directors, of course, to see who do they know and the playwrights, but we invite the actors to be part of the process through really conversation and reputation.
Well, while we're on Rajiv's Joseph's Archduke, which is being directed by you August 16th to the 20th, tell us a little bit about the cast involved in that show.
What's interesting about that is we have two actors who have done work with Rajiv previously. He is a ferocious rewriter. So what you start...
Ferocious tiger.
Yes.
Bengal tiger.
Yes. What you start with at 10 a.m. may not have anything in common with what you go home with at 6 p.m. And so we have Stephen Stocking, who's a young actor who did a show at NYU with Rajiv. So he's used to this. And then Remy Sandry, who actually helped develop The North Pool, which was part of a festival. It was part of the New Works Festival in 2009. And then we did it on the main stage at Theater Works. So we have those two actors, and then we have four other actors. Oh, and Jen LeBlanc, actually, is somebody who's worked with Rajiv. So three other actors will join us, and we'll figure out what this show is together over the course of the 2 weeks.
Nice, and I'm sure more will be discussed in the keynote address by Rajiv on Friday night at 8. Talking with Giovanni Sardelli about the Theater Works Silicon Valley New Works Festival. Starting off with something that seems like a lot of fun. Something Wicked This Way Comes, a haunting musical thriller based on the novel by Ray Bradbury.
Yes. This piece grabbed me. It's about a Depression-era circus that comes to town, a sleepy little town where nothing ever happens. And these two young boys just want adventure. And along comes a circus promising to change their lives. But the cost is tremendous.
Well, on that intriguing note, let's hear Cougar and Dark's Pandemonium Shadow Show. This is music and lyrics by Neil Bartram, part of Something This Wicked This Way Comes, starting off the New Works Festival of Theater Works Silicon Valley, and then more with Giovanni Sardelli.
We are in a depression, folks. There's no denying. And I hear you crying out for respite from your dishwater gray existence. Life can be miserable, life can be dull. A sense of malaise just decays in your skull. Maybe you're weak, disadvantaged, or fat. But don't be silly, a carnival can't help you with that. But what we do is we conjure a simpler year. Today is mundane, make today disappear. We all want to be elsewhere, and elsewhere is just through these gates. Enter a place where your dreams come to life before you. Come meet the version of you that you're aching to be. She's there on the Ferris wheel, spinning delirious, inches from touching the sky. He's shooting for prizes, so focused and serious, with the aim of a younger man's eye. Is it a moment to come, or a day long ago? Here at Cougar and Dog, pandemonium shadow show. What is a carnival without its very lifeblood, fortune, sad casualties? Round every corner, inside each tent, you'll find them. My wondrous menagerie, free from the clutches of time. There's Eliza, elastic, whose limbs are like gelatin, twisting her body in knots. In here is the creature who's known as the skeleton. Watch as his ancient flesh rots. Life's rich with mystery, not like the life you all know. Here at Cougar and Dog, pandemonium shadow show. Carnival's more than its sun-bleached canvas and threadbare flags. It's ticket takers and worn-out rags. A carnival barker can spout his spiels, but he can't come close to the way it feels to see like a child again, bound like a pup. A town full of sleepwalkers finally woke up from their daily days. Dog and Cougar, we have our ways. He'll see. Once in a lifetime, a gift lands upon your doorstep. The gift of the possible hero you locked deep inside. Temptation, there's no use resisting it. Chances like this are unique.
This chance is
just summon the courage, and soon you're enlisting it. No longer milquetoast and weak.
No longer weak.
That could never once breathe. Now we'll flourish and
grow. Flourish and grow.
Here at Cougar and Dog.
Cougar and Dog. Pandemonium shadow show.
Cougar and Dark's Pandemonium Shadow Show from Something Wicked This Way Comes, a haunting musical thriller based on the novel by Ray Bradbury, music and lyrics by Neil Bartram, book by Brian Hill. It's going to be directed by Brian Hill as well, August 13th through the 20th, a full production at Theater Works Silicon Valley's New Works Festival. David LaTulipe here with Giovanna Sardelli, talking about the many new works being brought to life.
Yes.
Congratulations on just having that birthing instinct to bring this stuff to life. That's great.
I think I have one of the best jobs in the world. I do want to say it's interesting because people do think they're full presentations, but they're actually music stand presentations. You can't require the actors to be off book. But what's so funny is because of the immense talent on the stage, people often forget that they're hardly rehearsed, that they're still in process, and that they're not productions, because they're usually so, the stories are so well told, when you think about them, you actually feel like you saw
right.
Something.
It gets the imagination involved, yeah. Even more, sure. So from Something Wicked This Way Comes, we move to another musical, Gravity, a Newtonian musical. This directed by Ken Savage and created by Joel Chapman, Weston Gaylord, Matt Herrero, Jessica Hoffman, and Ken Savage. Tell us about Gravity.
Gravity actually came, they were Stanford students, and they had 24 hours to create the beginnings of a musical. And so they began creating Gravity. And it was so successful that then they got a little more time to develop it at Stanford, and a little more time. And once again, our Leslie Martinson went to see one of their presentations, because Jesse and Ken both have worked for Theater Works in the past, and she came back into my office and said, find a way to do Gravity in the festival. And, of course, Robert Kelly came from Stanford. So we have so many Stanford associations from our board and from our staff members. that we thought we should include them, call it a next generation event. Since we're looking at new works, we should also be looking at the youngest artists who are creating new works.
Fantastic. Again, 15th season of presenting new works in this form for Theater Works Silicon Valley. After Gravity, one can see The Four Immigrants, an American musical manga.
Yes. Manga.
Go on. Do go on.
Do go on. This was this is written by Min Khan, who is a Bay Area artist who's a little bit of a wunderkind, because he does the book, the music, and the lyrics. And it's based on the first graphic novel published in America. And it's really, it's about four young men who traveled from Japan in the earlier part of last centuries. And one of them captured all their experiences, from the prejudices to the ridiculousness of trying to figure out a different culture, in graphic novel form, which then Min turned into the musical The Four Immigrants, an American musical manga.
That's the 14th to the 20th. We mentioned Archduke by Rajiv Joseph that you're going to be directing from the 16th to the 20th. You wanted to mention something in addition about Rajiv's keynote address, which starts things off Friday.
Oh, yes. I think he does something incredibly generous and special in that he's going to speak. It's called The Black Cat That Isn't There, and it's a look at his creative process. It's an incredibly intimate look because he opens up his journal. So he shares with you the seeds of ideas and how they grew. He reads from some of his own scripts. And I think it's such a fun insider's look. And his mind works like no other person's. So the fact that he's going to share with us how he takes an idea and turns it into something tangible is, to me, going to be incredibly interesting.
Well, he's written for TV as well as film, a librettist for the opera Shalimar the Clown,
yeah.
Adapted from the same novel of the same name by Salman Rushdie. And fascinating. He served for 3 years in the Peace Corps in Senegal and now lives,
yes,
in Brooklyn, New York. Amazing guy.
He really is.
Enter the Valley by Dipika Guha is next on the docket from the 19th to the 21st.
Yes. And this is a straight play. And it was inspired by the life of Pablo Neruda. And it's not about his life, but certainly inspired by a creative genius in a small, unnamed Latin town, and the loves of his life. What has inspired him to write? His consumption of life, of humanity, of humans in some degree, and how that becomes fodder for his art. And it has such strong, wonderful female characters and such beautiful poetry written by Dipika that when I first read this, I found it to be extraordinary.
Enter the Valley will be directed by Kirsten Brandt as part of TheaterWorks Silicon Valley New Works Festival. And then things round out with another musical, Eddie the Marvelous, who will save the world, with book, music, and lyrics by Kate Kilbane and Dan Moses.
Yes. So this is a rock musical, and it's so funny because every year when we're looking for our New Works festivals, we get a ton of things called rock musicals, and they kind of never really are. And so this came to us by Lauren Gunderson, who's an incredibly well-known.
Sure, I've talked with Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren's fantastic. So she sent me an email, and that helped me believe that it would in fact be what it says it is, which is a rock musical. And it's another piece. I loved it the minute I heard it. It's a great story about Eddie, who has some problems. He's probably on the spectrum, but it's set in the 80s before anybody really knew what that meant. And so in his life, he's really not so marvelous. He can't go outside. And whenever he fails, which luckily for the audience is often, he has an alter ego. He creates a novel, and he's really a glam rock star in this. And so we get treated to two worlds that are both so well developed in this story. I can't wait to see this one come to life.
Well, we're going to go out with Walk a Thin Line by the Kilbanes from Eddie the Marvelous. But before we do, let me just thank you once again for coming in, Giovanna. It's Giovanna Sardelli. She's the director of New Works for Silicon Valley Theater Works Silicon Valley, 15th Annual New Works Festival. Information at Theater Works, that's theaterreworks.org. Not only about the festival, but about the 47th season coming up for the full Theater Works Silicon Valley. Giovanna, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
A wonderful festival. And we're going to go out, as I mentioned, with Walk a Thin Line featuring Reggie White, music of the Kilbanes that will be heard as part of Eddie the Marvelous, who will save the world.
Hello, sunshine. Hello, sky. You're closer than you were before. No, I'd be stopping by until I heard the slamming door. All the mirrors, all the clocks, they seem so far away from here. I am nowhere, time is stopped, and now I'm wondering when you will appear. Who is up? Who is down? Gotta walk a thin line to find out. Who's on top? Who's below? Gotta walk a thin line to know. Hello, gorgeous, dressed in red. Don't think I ever got your name. I see you walking straight ahead. I think I'll do the same. Choir whistles in the air. Move as tight as any drum. I'm moving forward, you're straight ahead. I'll keep my balance, won't be overcome. Who is up? Who is down? Yeah, gotta walk a thin line to find out. Say who's on top, who's below. Gotta walk a thin line, no. Said who is up, who is down. Gotta walk a thin line, find out. Said who's on top, who's below. Gotta walk a thin line, you know. Hey, come on.
Walk a Thin Line from Eddie the Marvelous, Who Will Save the World. Book, music, and lyrics by Kate Kilbane and Dan Moses. Directed by Becca Wolf. Part of Theater Works Silicon Valley's 15th Annual New Works Festival. Information at theaterworks.org.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Month of August, always a great time to take a road trip, and regular contributor Peter Robinson is offering some suggestions for some audiobooks to take along. Hi, Peter.
Hi, David. Good to be here. And yeah, that is Willie Nelson on the road again. And to me, an audiobook can make a great traveling companion. And I've been on a couple of trips up to Ashland for the Shakespeare. So I took three different types of books with me, and here are a couple of suggestions. The first is called All the Light We Cannot See. It's by Anthony Dower. But what I'm going to focus on is how all these books are read, because there is a big difference between reading off the page and listening to the spoken word. And I've often seen a good book absolutely killed by a bad reader, and equally a bad book brought to life by the spoken voice. And if you're sitting in a car, or you're at the airport, or on a plane, the reader really paints that world for you and paints pictures. It's not unlike being on radio, which I've considered the theatre of the mind. So here you are on the plane, on the road, in a car, and the book, All the Light We Cannot See, is set in wartime France, and the reader, Zach Appleman, really brings that sense of wartime France. This is Paris just before the war begins. The main character in the book, Marie Laurie, is a young girl. She lives with her father near the Museum of Natural History, and at the age of six, she goes blind. And her father, who is the lock keeper for the museum, builds a miniature of Paris so she can feel her way around Paris. But at the age of 12, the Nazis occupy the city and they move to Saint-Malo, to a big house on the coast. So it's an intriguing story which brings two different lives together. One is this young girl, the young blind girl, and the second is a young German boy whose gift in life is building instruments, and he's suddenly employed by the Nazis to build radios so they can track down the resistance movement. And that's where the two lives converge. But this is also a story about radio, because one of the ways people kept in touch during the French occupation was through the BBC World Service, which, of course, would broadcast messages into France. And I mention the narrator, Zach Appleman, because there is that modulation to his tone as the story progresses, and of course I won't ruin the ending for you. The book takes a long time to read. It's a 16-hour book, and I might just say that when you go on long trips, this is the ideal opportunity to listen to a longer book, because you're not interrupted by parking and stopping, and the action keeps moving. And my second choice is also set in the same time frame. It's called The Nightingale. It's by Kristen Hannah, and it is narrated by Polly Stone. This is a story about two girls who grow up, again, during the Second World War in France. They're both very different to each other, but as the mystery evolves, it turns out that they too, in the end, are strong resistance to the occupation. And the story moves back and forth from a mysterious sojourn to the 1990s and then back to the 1940s again. And I think this is where a reader's voice is really telling, because you have to capture the mood, you've got to capture the characters and bring them all together. And my final one, by Terry McMillan, is called I Almost Forgot About You. Very interesting, because the author here reads her novel. And I think it's interesting when you have an author who is also an excellent reader. So I'm emphasizing the importance of listening and how a story can unfold. In this case, she's on her really same beat. It's conversations that are instructive about families, friends, lovers, and of course oneself. And Macmillan is the quintessential voice, now I think even more expansive, as she has that sense of perception, and there is a kind of laugh-aloud, generous quality to her reading. So these are three different choices if you are going on a road trip, or if you're flying and you're on a seven-hour flight. All the Light We Cannot See, a novel by Anthony Dower, The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah, and then the self-read I'm Almost Forgot About You, a novel by Terry McMillan. But if you're stuck in traffic, as I was today as I came out to the radio studio on Highway 101, the great mystery turn as you hit Paul exit, which is a real breathtaking curve, I sometimes find that I'm better off immersed in a poem. And I was listening to a poem which actually called The Listeners by Walter de la Mare. It's available on CD. And I'll just read the first four lines of a poem called The Listeners by Walter de la Mare. "Is there anybody there?" said the traveller, knocking on the moonlit door. And the horse champed the grass on the forest ferny floor. And a bird flew up in a turret above the listener's head. And he smit the door a second time. "Is there anybody there?" he said. And suddenly I was just transported. What was the traveller doing? Who was listening to him? Why was he banging on the door? And now around me the traffic subsided. I forgot I was on Highway 101. I was back in that magical world of the human voice speaking poetry. And that, too, is a quiet moment where the modulations of rhyme, the magic of verse, the coming together of words made me realize that audiobooks have a place in our lives in this high digital world where sometimes it's too fast, but listening can slow you down.
Thank you, Peter Robinson. I would vote for you to offer us a audio tape of some poetry someday. That would be nice.
That'd be good. Thank you, David. Good to be here.
See you next time.
And that's Open Air for this week. Niels Swingles produces the show. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum, sitting in for David LaTulipe, who returns next week. Open Air broadcasts are archived at the show's webpage at kalw.org. And if you've got a segment suggestion, send us an email at david@kalw.org. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you.